there's two ways of looking. When it was playing out on Saturday night with Tennessee right there on the doorsteps of scoring, making it a one-score game against Alabama and Tuscaloosa, now that we have some 2020 hindsight, Jarrett Garantano did not run the play that he was supposed to run. And so, but, you know, here's the thing. I don't think he was trying to be a hero or anything. He's just trying to help his team win a game. It didn't go right. But certainly Jeremy Pruitt got a lot of backlash. Not that he was yelling at Jarrett Garantano as he came off the field, but the fact that the grabbing of the face mask, that's the thing that, you know, if you're a future player, and a lot of them, it occurs all the time across the country, but it's not good for recruiting, especially with Jeremy Pruitt's reputation out there from his previous stops. That's the last thing you need, because other schools will use that against you.
Yeah, I didn't think it was the end of the world. At the same time, in 2019 football, if you grab a kid by the face mask, you're going to get ripped for it publicly, right? And it's going to look, you're going to take a PR black eye. You know, it's last year, Jimbo Fisher, we kind of learned that. I mean, they were debating that one. I don't think this one, A, Tennessee's not where A&M was last year. B, Pruitt's not Jimbo. He doesn't have a national title. But last year when Jimbo Fisher did this, it was on First Take for 3 days. They debated it on Monday Night Football, whether it was okay. You know, so we learned the lesson last year that if you do this in public, you're going to get ripped for it. Now, at the same time, any of us that have played football at any level have had a coach grab our face mask and chew us out. That's just the way that goes. And I do think Garantano was doing the basic thing you do when you come off the field and a coach is ripping you, which is like you let him rip and you walk by. Clearly, Pruitt wanted answers, so he just kind of yanked his face mask to get his attention and get him to stay there with him. It's just a matter of if you do that, you have to know what comes with it. And in 2019, that means you get ripped publicly. And so Jeremy Pruitt's getting ripped publicly for it.
I forgot. I can't remember which player did this for Alabama. He made a mistake coming off the field on Saturday night. And instead of, like, you know, getting as far away as possible from Nick Saban, he headed right towards him. And Nick Saban wasn't even paying attention to him. But I admired the player for, you know, like taking ownership of his mistake. And he was going to give Nick Saban the opportunity to yell at him if Nick wanted to yell at him. But Nick had already moved on to something else.
Yeah, he knew what was coming, right? Or what usually is coming in that situation. So he did run right to him.
And I love, by the way, on the broadcast on Saturday night on ESPN, it took them the full half there. At least in the third quarter, they finally got it straight, because they were still pronouncing Jarrett Garantano's name as the 2017-18 version of Garantano.
Yeah, well, and here's the thing, too, though. That was what his dad went by when he played. You know, like, I found that out recently, that someone showed me an old, had a picture of an old Rutgers media guide, and it was Garantano was how it was pronounced back then. So that's really weird. I don't know where Garantano came from. I don't know if the family found out that the name's pronounced differently. I don't know, but I'll just say Jarrett Garantano was a much better player than Jarrett Garantano has been so far this year.
All right, so going into Saturday, I said this last week. It's like, first of all, don't get embarrassed. You know, play as hard as you can. Try to come out of the game as relatively healthy as possible going up against a beast in the SEC. But put yourself in a position where you can find a way to get 4 wins in these remaining 5 games, starting at home with South Carolina this week. And basically, all those things kind of play out. And so this is where we stand with Tennessee going to this matchup, except, and it's a big exception, the quarterback spot. We don't know what we can expect from Brian Maurer heading into this game on Saturday.
Yeah, I will tell you, from people I've spoken to in Tennessee, most of them think that they will be floored if Brian Maurer is medically cleared to play this weekend. Just the thoughts that no chance it's going to happen. So I think it's one of the reasons everybody's kind of looking at Garantano, and frankly, Jeremy Pruitt's covering a little bit for Jarrett Garantano on this, is because you're going to need him. JT Shroud's not ready. He's just not. And I don't know, frankly, if this is the level of football for him. Maybe he can't. He's got the arm for it, but we'll see. But Brian Maurer is clearly the best option for Tennessee as far as trying to win this game. I don't think he's going to be there, and that means if you want a chance to beat South Carolina, your only look at it is to roll Jarrett Garantano back out there. That's your only shot at it.
And look, at the opportunity is there. You go, well, wait a second. South Carolina has played awfully tough against, first of all, getting the win against Georgia and looking really good against Florida in the rain before falling there in the second half. And you can go, and if they'd gotten better help as far as from the officiating, who knows how that game plays out. But we go back, and we've been talking about it so much this year. you know, with in this case with South Carolina, knowing they got Georgia, Florida, and now Tennessee, you know, I'm not expecting South Carolina for three straight weeks to have the same intensity they've had the two previous weeks. So in so many ways, I think these kind of things kind of equal out. But you got to find a way, and I totally agree with you, that although it didn't look good Saturday night, that Jeremy Pruitt would be in the good graces of Jarrett Garantano, but maybe there was also a situation where both individuals talk, they need each other, and that they'll be just fine heading into this game on Saturday.
So I was told that after the game was over by somebody I know that was on the sideline, that Pruitt walked over, and as they were walking off the field, he had his arm around Garantano. So I don't think it's what a lot of fans wanted to hear, that Garantano's just done. I don't think that's the case, and frankly, there's no reason to do that. You need to win some games. You've got a chance against the South Carolina team. I agree with you. One, can they keep this up 3 weeks in a row? Number two, South Carolina, where they've beaten Tennessee, has been that they're up front, they've just been the more physical team. Well, Tennessee's been, they were pretty physical and at times pushed Alabama around up front, and they were able to run the football pretty well and use an unbalanced sets and things like that. They were the more physical team against Mississippi State. It's been probably a half decade since we've seen a Tennessee team beat a more physical team against an SEC opponent that had a pulse. So let's see what they can do against South Carolina. That's one place Will Muschamp has always kind of punked Tennessee since Butch Jones was there, that Will Muschamp's just going to beat Tennessee because they're the more physical team up front. I don't know that his team will be the more physical team up front. That doesn't mean South Carolina's going to lose the game, because they have Edwards, they have Ryan Helinski. Let's see how healthy he is. But Tennessee has a shot in this one. If you let Garantano go out there, you tell him you have no autonomy. You don't change anything. If we call it, I don't care what you see, you go the other way. And I'll say this, on that play, like how I was taught that play, and they call it like a G lead now is from what I'm told, and we used to call it a G trap. And it's where the guard goes out and you run a kind of trap on the off-tackle position there. We were taught back in the day, if the A gap is filled by two players, either it's a one technique and a linebacker or two linebacker splits in that gap,
right,
that the quarterback takes it and sneaks to the other side. Now, you don't do what he did. I think he just completely lost his mind and pooped his pants a little bit there. But that's what you do. You audible out, sneak to the other side, or you audible into a power or a play-action pass if you have that situation. So I think he saw two guys coming in the A-gap and said, this is going to get blown up, and so let's go the other way. Well, apparently in this day and age, you still run it if they hit the A-gap, if two guys hit the A-gap. So I don't know if maybe it's something he was taught in the past, that if you see this, you go the other way on that play, or if he just thought, I see something, so I'm going to go make a play for us. I don't know what it was, but that was just about as bad of a play as you possibly could imagine, and especially at the end, because, you know, maybe he's trying to reach across. I don't know if he is or not, but it almost looked like he just realized, I'm stopped, so let me just sling the ball out to see if maybe one of my guys can recover it in the end zone, because it's fourth down, and ends up going back for a touchdown the other way.
Well, Shane Lee knocked it out of his hand, and here's the thing. If you're like a Bo Jackson, who was notorious about this as a freshman at Auburn that helped beat Alabama for the first time since 72, Bo Jackson in high school was a high jump champ. So when you've got that ability, then by all means, go leaping over the top. If you're Walter Payton, by all means, you have that luxury. Go ahead and leap over the pile. But if you're Jarrett Garantano in that situation, you know, call the play that the coaches wanted you to call.
Yeah, and you know, and it was one of the big storylines at the beginning of the season and during the offseason, was Jim Chaney and Jerry Garantano saying he has autonomy to change things at the line. And we've taught him a lot of if-then things, and frankly, he's not handled it well the entire year. And so that was just a microcosm of that one big spot. And it will be a play that I think Tennessee fans will remember forever, because of the spot, because of the opponent, because of how good the opponent's been and how terrible Tennessee's been, and because Garantano's a guy that they kind of have soured on anyway based on his play the last few weeks.
I mean, I'm still, you know, trying to wrap my arms around 13-0 against a team. If you're Tennessee, the team that you want to beat more than any other team is Alabama, and you're 0-13 in the last 13 meetings.
Yeah, no, and right now, frankly, that was about as close as you felt like it was, where you're going out playing with them outside of the 1 year, was it 15 with Dobbs? So, I mean, outside of that
15
one year,
in 2009, and the strange thing about it is the fact that all three games now have occurred in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, and so that it looked, because Tennessee especially wants Tua went out. But let's be real, right? When that's a different team, and so for the people who are out there who have said that Tua's not that great, those receivers just make him look great, I think those receivers are fantastic, but we see the difference with Mac Jones with those receivers versus Tua with those receivers, right? Just those guys can make plays, but it takes a quarterback hitting them in stride that allows them to be able to make those plays. And so Alabama doesn't look like Alabama of old. Tua's not healthy for the LSU game. I think they get beat by LSU pretty well. But if Tua is out there playing, I think that's a game changer. But for Tennessee fans, you had a shot there. You were winning the battle at the line of scrimmage for a good stretch of the game there. You had the Daryl Taylor penalty that – in real time looked like he shoved him, and then when we see the replay, maybe he did. I guess he did shove him, but I'm not going to kill the officials for that because I think in real time I thought, as I was watching it, Daryl Taylor shoved him down. It was just kind of the way that the whole thing broke, but that could have been a 2013 game there in that spot with 7 minutes left to go. Instead, they get the touchdown, and it's still 28-13, but if you get the touchdown on that play, you know, you cut this back to a one-score game. They have gone three and out two different times since Jones has come in, and you're sitting there thinking, okay, we got a chance to get a stop here, maybe come back and try to win this football game, and instead, it's at least a 7-point swing, if not a 14-point swing.
Yeah, I haven't even weighed in yet on that, and I thought at the time when it happened, I thought it was a good call because, first of all, he was lingering on top of him anyway, and then finally when he decides to get up, he did do the push-off, and he wasn't doing it to help himself up. It was like sending a message, and look, you got to be smarter than that as a player because they're looking at you, especially when it involves the quarterback in that situation where he's on his stomach, and they will call that every time, and rightfully so.
Yeah, and you know, I've caught a lot of football over the years, and I've seen a lot of times where they're warning a guy first in that situation. Taylor's got a little bit of a reputation, and and you're in Tuscaloosa in that spot, and they're the number one team in the nation, and that's the quarterback, and you're not the quarterback. So you've got to know better than to kind of linger there a little bit. I did think once I finally saw the slow-mo, I don't know that he shoved him necessarily, but if you're not lingering there, you know, horse riding the guy, you don't find yourself in the position to be
right.
Have a flag thrown. And so to me, that's still on Taylor, no matter what you do. And there wasn't I know a lot of Tennessee fans saw the replay and said he didn't do it. There was not a soul that watched that play in real time that didn't think that he shoved the guy, though.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, here's the thing. Last time Tennessee was in this situation at home, Mississippi State came in. They were 6.5-point favorite. South Carolina, only a 4-point favorite in Knoxville this Saturday.
Yeah, basically that Vegas thinks that either Maurer or Garantano will play. That's what that makes me think. It's probably Garantano being the guy. So I do think that line's about right. Tennessee's improving. That's the one thing. Like they're improving everywhere except the secondary. If you have a quarterback that can light them up at the secondary, you're going to be just fine. But their front seven is really, really greatly improved. Their offensive line, it is night and day from what it was even at the BYU game earlier this year and at the Florida game. So they've gotten so much better as the weeks have gone along outside of the corner position very specifically. And the corners still aren't great. And if Helinski can light Tennessee up and Helinski can complete passes and not make bad decisions, South Carolina probably wins this game. If they can limit what Helinski does, or maybe the injury bothers him a little bit, or they can get enough of a pass rush on Helinski to make things uncomfortable for him, then Tennessee can absolutely go win this football game.
Well, and plus the other part, too, South Carolina, we go back to they're coming off their loss a lot more disappointed than Tennessee is. And so you wonder how much that comes into play. I think Will Muschamp has a huge job this week getting his team back up emotionally and mentally ready to go against Tennessee coming up on Saturday. But one more thing, too. How about Tim Jordan? Loved his play, too, over the weekend.
Yeah, you know, he's run so hard since last year and really kind of didn't get his shot. He kept finding himself in the coach's doghouse because he likes to bust plays to the outside. And you see that a lot from immature runners that – you know, they'll think that I can use my athleticism to get to the outside all the time instead of ducking their shoulder and taking what the defense gives them. That's the difference in what Tim Jordan's doing right now. But it started with the spring game last year. I saw how hard he was running and just thought, my gosh, this guy can play. And he's finally learning to just kind of lower his head and finish off a run instead of trying to bounce to the outside and break a touchdown every single time he touches the football.